Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So we continue our sermon series called Eternity. This is week three. By the way, Pastor Layman and your wife, I keep forgetting your wife's name. Can you please forgive me? Yes, thank you. You have to forgive me. We're in church. But let me ask you a quick question. You're not still here from the wedding. You came back from the wedding. All right, well, we welcome you back. This is for your graduation, which is a miracle in itself. No, I'm just joking. We're glad. That's wonderful. But would you welcome Pastor Layman and his wife? This is Amber's grandparents. Is that correct? That's right. We're glad you're here. It's good to see you. So we're talking about eternity. It's a four-week series. This is week number three. Week one, I talked about, let me say this. This is a positive, upbeat message. We're not talking about death and dying, but the Bible does say that God has put eternity in our hearts. But for a believer, this is a great time to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. That if you die, there's two ways you can go to heaven. If you die, right, the Bible says that your soul goes directly to heaven. But also if Jesus Christ comes back, the rapture of the church, we talked about, we go right up to be with the Lord in heaven. So there's actually two ways to go to heaven, through natural death and your spirit goes to heaven, or the rapture, Jesus comes back for us. Last week, Pastor Jermel preached an inspirational message about my Father's house, what heaven will be like, many rooms, plenty of food, the love of God, the light will be bright in heaven as compared to hell will be dark, and we'll be filled with people. We'll be together with those who are loved ones who are in the Lord. This morning, I preach a message. The title is called A Seat and a Throne. Now, I want to speak specifically about the judgment seat of Christ and also the great white throne judgment. I'll explain as we go, but when you die, believers will go before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord will reward us based on our good works that the Lord has helped us to do after we became a Christian. You get into heaven through the blood of Jesus. There's one way, forgiveness of sins. But after that, the Lord will pass out rewards and do an evaluation on how we lived. And I'll explain this with a deeper heart, that the great white throne is for sinners who turn their back on Christ, reject the gospel, and their eternity will not be in heaven. And I'll explain it. So I'm talking about a seat and a throne. Now, I don't know if you saw this past week, but USA Today on Thursday, and I read to you, it says, if you're a stickler for keeping the time, you might not want to go to this island in Norway because they might get rid of time. If we could pick that picture up there. There is a small town in Norway, just because of the way the time zones are, 69 days of the year, the sun does not set. It just stays, the sun that's out. So you can mow your lawn at 2 o'clock in the morning. So they're talking about changing the time zone. So ladies and gentlemen, we cannot change time. We live in time. We talk about time. How long will this service go? What time will you get done? We'll be done by 3 o'clock. I promise. We talk about coming to church on time. We talk about what time school is. But time as we know it will end for all of us. And then there is what is called eternity. We're interested in eternity because we know there's something beyond the now. And it interests us. You watch movies and it's kind of like, hey, you go somewhere, something happens. And this is our life. The word eternity means infinity or unending time. So once you step out of time, you will step into eternity. So I quickly want to talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ for believers or for Christians. First, it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So we're here on earth and the Lord is in heaven. For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now, listen to this. This is for believers. If you're a sinner or you're far from God, at the end of this message, I have a great, great opportunity for you. You do not need to die and go to hell. You can have salvation. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is a hope and a good message. But this is for believers. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, or you would call yourself a Christian, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So every Christian, when they die, they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of their life and how they lived here on earth. So, but I just want to just back up really, really quickly, because some people maybe just misunderstand. God is love. God is full of grace and mercy. If you don't know anything about the Bible, let me just quote to you one more time the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, Jesus, would not perish but have eternal life. God promises eternal life for those that put their faith in him. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to eternal life, because God deals with the issue of sin in our life. And Jesus Christ went on the cross, the Bible says, became sin for us so we could become the righteousness of God. His blood covers over our sins and makes peace with God and promises eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 24 emphasizes this. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So if you have put your faith in Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be fearful. Do not let your hearts be troubled, beloved. Trust in Jesus. He has a great eternal plan for you. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. No more crying there. No more dying. This is our hope, that we'll be able to stand before the Lord and give account of our life. So what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? If this is where we're all going, if you're a believer, what will transcend? How will the evaluation take place? We should know this and prepare. Some people prepare for going on their Disney cruise or their Disney trip with more emphasis than you're going to stand before the Lord for eternity. You get all excited at Disney. You spend thousands of dollars. They send you the wristbands. You get all excited. You put it on Facebook. You spend all your time there. You go buy a soda for $19 and a bucket of popcorn for $39. The dad is all stressed out because how are you going to pay for the bills? And the mom's like, would you just have fun? And you're getting, And that's just temporary. This is for eternity. So we must be ready and prepared. This is what God said. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's salvation. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, or costly stones. I want to compare this. If you build your life with gold, silver, or costly stones, it will persevere. But if you build your life with wood, hay, and straw, both of their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, and that is hay, rubble, and straw, if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So the Bible is talking about some of you are saved, but you're barely out of hell. Your clothes smell like hell and smoke, and you're barely out, and you have no blessings and rewards in heaven. You just kind of called on the Lord. You just said, Jesus, I believe in you. And the Bible says he will evaluate your life when you get there. So what will we be evaluated on? Ladies and gentlemen, if I were you, I would think about this long and hard. I'm the pastor today, but God forbid something would happen to me and another pastor would come. He should say the same thing. This is not about the pastor. This is about you before the judgment seat of Christ and you preparing and readying yourself. What will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Number one, the Lord will evaluate your words. Matthew chapter 12, 35 and 36. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. When you get to heaven, you're going to be evaluated on the words that you spoke. And we know that words come from the heart. So I encourage you to ask God, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You say, John, it's not a big deal to curse. It is, because it's a big deal about your heart. And I really encourage you, don't use words like damn or hell, even an expression, even if you don't feel like you mean it, because damn and hell have to do with eternal life in hell. That God would so transform your heart that out of your mouth would come praise and joy and delight and blessing and encouragement. For with your words, you praise men and God and you lift up. And some people, you're just negative. You're down in the mouth. You slander. You just kind of push things back. You curse. You're always complaining. If it rains, you say, where is God? Listen, you in your heart, your mouth speaks, and you're going to have to give account for your words. Do you know with your words? The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. Do you know a believer is supposed to use their words to share the love and the light of Christ? And when you're down in the mouth, it actually leads people to hell. But if you flip your words and say, Lord, I want to have the right attitudes with my heart and my mouth, it draws people to God. So I have a quick question for you. What comes out of your mouth? Is it good things? How's your heart today? From your heart, the mouth speaks. Is it praising God? Is it delightful? Is it lifting up? Is it trusting in God? The Bible says those things will be taken into account and the Lord will reward you accordingly. Secondly, about how you handle what I would call your earthly employers. Most of us will work 8-hour jobs, days, if you're a nurse, maybe 4 12-hour shifts or whatever it is. But how you live your life as it relates to your work is a big deal to God, and God says he's going to reward you according to your work. Now listen, for some of you, this scripture may feel a little bit tough. The word slaves is used, but I want to explain to you from a theological it's not the word slaves as it relates to America, harsh slavery 400 years ago. Theologians express it out a little bit farther from our employers, how we work as employees, as unto the Lord. God never condones harsh slavery. Matter of fact, every Christian person will always try to get people away from slavery. Wilberforce. How do you say it? Wilberforce. Led people out of slavery. So when the word slave is used, we're not talking about harsh slavery like in America. We're talking about our responsibilities to our employer. Watch this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. Don't beat the system. Don't cheat them. Don't cheat yourself. Don't beat them on taxes. Don't beat the government. Don't be a hustler. But as slaves of Christ, do the will of God from your heart. This is a heart issue. It has nothing to do with who's over you. It has to do with you and me. Serve wholeheartedly. Go to work tomorrow with a good attitude, with all of your heart. And you serve God as if you are serving the Lord, not people. It's not about your boss. Because you know that the Lord, watch this, the Lord will reward each of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. So when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will give an account of your life based on your work. You don't get into heaven through good works, you're saved by grace. But once you become a Christian, you go to work for Jesus. You go to work for God, you support your family. And the attitude with your work, if you're lazy, you're going to give an account. If you have a good work ethic, you'll give an account. Did you take a day off? The Bible says you have to sit down on the Sabbath. Your work as unto the Lord. Do you slander your boss? You say, John, hold on a second. You have no idea who my boss is. And I would say to you, you are right. But you're not really serving that man or that woman. You're serving the Lord. And sometimes God will even use evil people to get your attention to make you a better employee and a better Christian. And God puts a leadership authority in your life, not to mess with you. He doesn't hate you, but just to help you to grow in the Lord. But how you work as unto the Lord will be brought into account on the day of judgment for a believer. And masters, watch this, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. We can almost do that. Employers, rich people, people in power, people in charge, do not threaten them. Treat the slaves or the employees in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with them. I was an employee. I used to be on staff. I had authority over me. And then there was a day when I was 26, I became a senior pastor. All of a sudden, as a very young man, I was now an employer. Today in our ministry, we have 50, 60, 70 people that are hired. They're on our payroll. In Marlton Christian Academy, staff, maintenance. I have a responsibility before God that I would treat our employees the proper way. A fair wage, they get a day off, they get time, vacation, whatever is appropriate for that job based on their responsibilities. But if you have power in this room and you're abusing your power and your right, you'll stand before God and give an account of that. And you know how it is. Have you ever really liked the job that you have? When you really like the boss that you have and they paid you well and gave you bonuses, it's a better place to work. If you're an employer, if you're rich, if you are on the highest totem pole, it's your responsibility to pave the way for people. I think especially poor people. If people are working hard, you see them and it's easy if you want to squash somebody because you have the power. But if you'll release them, they'll actually work harder for you and you can be a blessing and turn that whole thing around. So if you're an employee, go to work tomorrow with all of your heart as unto the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord will reward you. Most people aren't thinking that you're going to stand before the Lord and get an account. You're thinking like, how can I beat this? How can I hustle this? I was taught very young to work hard. I used to have a newspaper route. Any other newspaper boys in the room? Come on, somebody, the Bergen Record. I was responsible for 30 homes. And you know what? Some people beat the system. You just get a bike and it doesn't matter. You just kind of throw it and all the sports section goes and the comic goes. Nope. I put them in a little bag and I would kind of like throw it in the right spot. But on Sundays, that's the big day, the Sunday. You had to stuff it. And my dad, he had like this little station wagon Sunday before church. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. The paper is this thick, ladies and gentlemen. The Bergen Record. And I would run it all the way and put it right there for Mr. Whoever and he'd come out there. But I could tell through my work if they liked me or not. Because, you know, if you just kind of threw it and kind of got all messy, you know, the guy comes with his cup of coffee in the morning with his robe. He's got nothing under the robe. It's kind of awkward. He walks out there. He bends down like you see way too much, you know. Yeah. And you could kind of tell. But as a young person, you know what was great for me? Is that they would give you tips at Christmas. And you could tell how you were doing based on your performance. If you're always hustling, if you're cutting corners, you're lazy, you don't work hard, you don't give it, you shouldn't expect any type of blessing. But God does bless hard work. He does bless when you're faithful to your employer. Even if he's not a Christian, he might treat you bad or whatever. I don't know. But if you'll do it as unto the Lord, the Bible says the Lord will bless you. You say, Lord, John, I haven't received the blessings or that pay increase here on earth. Listen, I've been in that same boat where I feel like I should have had it better or whatever. I get it. But the Lord is taking note of everything that is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not be scared of the judgment seat of Christ. We should be ready. Because most Christians, most believers, what they do is just, they're just faithful as unto the Lord and they're doing it for the Lord. People oftentimes ask me, how big's your church or whatever? And they'll say, yeah, how many people are on staff? And I usually tell them like 150. We got like 150 pastors type of thing. They're like 150. Well, I say, well, we have about 140 that are missionaries. They don't come to church, but we support them. We financially and prayerfully support them. And we send them all around the world. And this morning, nobody knows about them. But they're just faithfully serving the Lord. They're working as unto the Lord. No one's seeing it. They're not getting any credit. But the Lord is taking notice of it. And everybody in this room, as you work as unto the Lord, your main name might not go in lights, your main name might not go in the program, someone might not send you a thank you note. We do a really good job here of trying to encourage and equip people and help people. But if we miss it, don't worry about it. You just do it as unto the Lord, and the Lord will reward you according to his goodness and his grace. And the more mature you get, you're not looking for recognition. All you're doing is storing up treasures in heaven. You want to please the Lord down on earth. So some people just walk around like this. They want to be a big shot down on earth. The Lord's not so concerned about that. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I suggest to you, invest yourself so when you stand before the Lord, he'll give you great rewards in heaven. Amen? That's maturity. That's growth. What about faithfulness as a soul winner? We know about the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our responsibility as a church. It's our joy. We have the greatest message of salvation and hope. But in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, it talks about how this is our responsibility. Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak to them or dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. There is a sense for the believer that we are accountable for the Marlton-Medford area for the souls of men. The Spirit-filled church has a responsibility to preach the gospel, to let as many people know there is freedom, there is forgiveness, there is grace, there is Jesus. I don't know if you know this story, but there was a man by the name of Marco. He's become my friend and since has moved to California. But Marco called the church office and left a voicemail. Come to find out, he said, I called all the churches in Marlton, Medford area. He said he called them all. He goes, you're the only one that's called me back. Now listen, I can't speak. I know a lot of the pastors around here. I don't think that was potentially accurate, and I'm not sure what that voicemail system worked. It could have got lost. That's not a criticism on anybody else. But Marco, he on the phone, I was like, who are you? This is what he said. I quote, he goes, I am the worst sinner in Marlton. That's the first thing over the phone. I'm the worst sinner. I'm like, you can't be the worst sinner. I'm saying to myself, you can't be the worst one. We got together, we started talking. He was the worst sinner in Marlton. He's the worst. When I tell you the stuff that he was involved in, it broke my heart. We actually became friends. He gave his testimony, I think, 2 or 3 years ago on Easter Sunday. Marco was dying and going to hell. If he would have died in his sin, or let me just say this, let me just lump you with me. If there wasn't a secretary, or there wasn't a staff person, a ground zero student answering the phone, and we didn't return that phone call, if we didn't lift him, he was the worst sinner in Marlton. If we didn't lift him, if we didn't share with him the gospel, and bring him to life in heaven, his soul would have been gone for all of eternity. I'm sharing this to say, ladies and gentlemen, we have to pick up the phone. We can't be too busy for souls. We have to. Let me ask you this. What would happen if we took all of the wealth of our personal lives in the church, all of our gifts and talents, whether you're a 1, 2, 3, 5 talent person? What would happen if you took all of your abilities and we crashed it and put it all into a bottle? And we said, you know what? I don't know what we could do as a church, but if we take all of our gifts, all of our talents, and put it all on there, and we use it to save one soul, to bring it Marco, and bring him out of hell, and bring him into heaven, would it be worth it? And ladies and gentlemen, I am here to say it absolutely be worth it for eternity. The saving of a soul is important to God. And I take my responsibility very serious as a senior pastor. That we would stay before us to say our church has to be about reaching and saving souls. If there's only two places to go, if people will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, okay, we've done our job. We keep teaching, we'll keep preaching. But if there's another place to go, and this place, the judgment seat of Christ means automatic, you go to hell. Shouldn't our responsibility, shouldn't we take it upon our souls and our hearts and our minds and our pocketbook and get a Marco and save him and bring him to heaven? In some ways, we must take that seriously as individuals and as a church. It's on us. The policemen, the firemen, the public schools, the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary, they're not going to share the gospel message. We have the gospel message, and we are going to give an account for that. And we must be ready to serve the Lord and be soul winners at all times. What about stewardship? Finances, time? Luke chapter 12, verse 42 through 48. The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant who the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master,'" or Jesus, "'is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, in an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does these things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows." The Bible is talking about, listen, we should be faithful in all the areas of our life. Ladies and gentlemen, what you want to hear when you stand before Jesus with fire in his eyes, you want to hear these words: "Well done, good and faithful servant." You're not going to want to hear, "Okay, you got in because of the blood of Jesus, my goodness, but you weren't faithful to me. You didn't love me. You didn't serve me. You didn't give me time. You didn't give me attention. My will was not your will. You did what you wanted to do." He said, "But Lord, aren't you good?" Yes, he's good. You got in, but you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you that you today be faithful in all that you do. And let you say, in what ways? Let me explain. I think first, in your attendance to church, you should be faithful. It's summertime. Here it is, the groove slightly transformed. Just a little bit of break from the norm. Something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance has gotten to be. Just a little bit out of control and smooth and groove and brew. What about a romance? Think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Sit back, relax, because it's the summertime. Yeah, right there. There's more where that came from. Zante. There's nothing. Zante can't hold me. Zante. Am I saying his name right? Zante. You could tell him. God taught me. All right, whatever. Yeah, we got it. It's summertime. You know what most people do during the summertime? They become unfaithful. Unfaithful. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not going to say, "Hey, were you faithful in spring and winter and the fall?" But what happened about summertime? Did you stop becoming faithful? So I suggest to you, be faithful. In all of your words, be faithful in the small things and the big things. Some of you have great ambition, great drive. You want to be used by God. You want to make money. Some of you say, "Oh, if I just had a lot of money, I would do great things for God." But if you are not faithful with small things, you'll never be faithful with big things. You can say, you can be a big mouth, but God knows who he can trust and who he can't. No disrespect, but I've been faithful. Listen, not just in my attendance. I'm not a perfect person by any means. I was born on April Fool's Day. I have deep issues in my life. But I have been faithful. I have been tithing 100%. I've never stolen one dime from the Lord's tithe since I had a newspaper out when I was 12 years old. You can go back through all my records. And God has allowed me to be faithful with small things. I became a senior pastor when I was 26. I was the pastor of this church when I was 35. Now, I'm obviously a little bit older, but the Lord has put me in charge of a lot of responsibilities. You don't get to levels of responsibility. People of authority, adults, people with shoes that are polished, they don't give people who are unfaithful responsibility. And you're sitting here frustrated. Why can I do more? Maybe you just have to ask yourself, am I faithful? I'm telling you right now, I am an employer. One of my most difficult challenges is finding capable, faithful people. I have a lot of people that can talk, present what they want to present, but you know what I just look at? I'm like looking at somebody. I'm like, can I trust them? Will they be faithful? Can I see them growing and developing? I'd rather take somebody who has less skill and talent, but they have the right heart and the right spirit and say, I'll do my best for you, Pastor, and for the Lord. I could take somebody like that and I can lift them because I know that they'll be faithful. If I could teach anybody, especially church workers, leaders, one of the things that you would always do is be faithful. And if you don't know what your life's about or you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, your purpose, you can't know your body in Christ, whatever, what I would suggest to you, if you don't know anything, especially in times of need or confusion, just stay faithful. The Lord has a way of helping his people move forward and when you're faithful to Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I need to share something personally with you. I think you know this by now. But in about half hour, I'm going to walk out of this building and do something I've never done before. For the next couple of months, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I didn't know what a sabbatical was a couple years ago. I heard some other pastors. But let me share a human side. Many pastors, they work really hard as unto the Lord, but then they have what's called burnt out, or they get frustrated with life. And I think before someone like me or a pastor gets burnt out, maybe looking at what's called a sabbatical for a time, just kind of like a school teacher, you take off a little time. I pour out like all the time, weddings, funerals, sermons. I have 2 or 3 sermons on my head all the time. At some point, you just can't keep going like that unless you kind of burn the candle at both ends. And so the Lord just started putting it on my heart. I was reading the book of Hebrews through, and Hebrews chapter 4, talk about the Sabbath. How important is that you would take off one day a week? Do you know it's important that you work 6 days and one day a week, God has built that in for your spiritual soul, that you would take rest to restore your soul? Pastors can easily violate that and people will applaud them. Hey, he's great because look how hard he works. But that's actually not good. You can never go with the crowd. You always have to go with Jesus. So let me show you kind of what I'm trying to do. So this is more for pastors or for me. Me, Jesus, and the church. When pastors fry out, or if they make a mistake or a sin, what happens is they start focusing on the me and the church, and Jesus gets pushed down. The pastor should never let Jesus get pushed down. Actually, watch the second circle. This is for the next couple months. This is what I'm going to do. It's just going to be me and Jesus. Does that make sense? So ladies and gentlemen, effectively, maybe midnight tonight, I'm going dark. I'm getting off of social media. I'm changing my phone number. I'm going to move. No, I'm just joking. I do want to just say this really quickly so your mind doesn't wander. I'm not quitting the church. I'm not leaving the church. I'm not interviewing somewhere. I'm not being pursued. The deacons of the church didn't say, hey, pastor, we have some problems. Why don't you take a break and then come back? Hopefully everything will work out. Nope. This is just being proactive to say, I need rest to take care of my mind, emotionally, spiritually. I'm going to travel a little bit, but I'm just going to rest. I'm not going to prepare messages so I can come back stronger with more hair and better muscles, all right? I'm just joking. There is no major marital problems with my wife and I, although she thinks I should be better sometimes, but that's a whole nother level. I've not cheated or been unfaithful to my wife. I've not mishandled or misappropriated any church's funds or anything. There's no, our children are serving the Lord wholeheartedly. Please don't ever let your mind wander. If there's ever a problem in the church, I think I'm showing my integrity to get up before you and just tell you, hey, this is what things are. But for a couple months, this is what I need to do. Can you put that picture back up of the three? Ladies and gentlemen, put yourself in this spot. Not so much the church, and it's not all a bunch of sins, but just put busyness of life, like social media and sports and time and all this different stuff there. It's easy to allow things to come in between you and your relationship with Jesus. So maybe it's just not the pastor God's speaking to, but maybe God's speaking to us through the pastor or with the pastor and say, maybe this summer the Lord's asking me to spend extra time with Jesus and his word. Maybe it could be things like distraction, but maybe you're so busy and you go to the shore and you don't think about the Lord. The Lord is kind of working in my heart to keep me fresh, but the Lord also wants to do it in your heart, that he would take care of your soul. All I'm telling you, Satan has a way of coming in and distracting and just kind of filling it all up where you're almost like, oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, reading my Bible. focusing on him. And Jesus is the lover of your soul. He's the only one that will satisfy. But it can happen to anybody. It can happen to even to good people. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk out and I'm going to come back. Is that okay? But this is what I'm asking you to do. I shared with you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but this is what I'm asking you to do. While I'm gone, I'm asking you to be faithful. Please continue to be faithful in attendance, serving and giving while I'm on leave. I'm counting on you. You can't say, Pastor John, if you're on sabbatical, then I'm on sabbatical. No, you can't do that. You can't take a sabbatical when I'm on a sabbatical. But I want to tell you something from my heart to yours. I'm asking you to be faithful. I will be faithful. I'll be in church every Sunday. I want to visit the Brooklyn Tabernacle. I want to go to different churches and just sit under the word of God myself. I never get to sit with my wife in church. I just want to sit on the front or wherever, whatever seat we're going to sit on, and I just want to hold her hand. That sounds kind of nice, right? Once in a while, I have to be like a human being too, so my heart stays fresh. So I'm asking you to be faithful, and I will be faithful. If I was the biggest shyster and I just lied to you, when I stand before the Lord, he'll take care of that then. But I might as well get out in front of it and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have every intention on being faithful to church while I'm gone. I also want to tell you this. I will pay my tithe when I'm gone. I'm going to send in my tithe to the church. So there might be a vacation that you go to, you go away. Just because you might not physically be here, and by the way, you should take vacation. I'm not making you feel bad for what you need. But you should also be, just because you're not physically here doesn't mean you shouldn't be faithful in your tithe during the summer. Matter of fact, this may be a good time just to talk about it. Did you get your taxes back? Did you get your taxes done in April, May, or maybe you need an extension? You can just look at your W-2s and your tax return and say, hey, did I properly tithe in 2018? I don't think it's beyond truth to say, hey, maybe you got to catch back up. Or are you caught up right now? Say, Lord, because listen, I just want to be faithful. I'm telling you, in this room, there is so much potential. I look out. This is pastor speak, ready? There's gold in them pews. And I'm not talking about money. There's potential in their pews. And what God uses is just faithful people to say, Lord, I'm not much, but if you could use me, I'll be faithful to you, and God will use you in a greater way than you ever could have imagined. So I'm asking you to be faithful, and I'm also asking you to be prayerful. Be prayerful. Pray for my wife. Pray for our family. Say, Lord, refresh them, strengthen them. Pray for my wife in particular. She runs a school. It's hard for her to step away. She has people she needs to employ and all this different responsibility. We cover your prayers. Please pray for the 2020 vision. Please pray for that God would stir our hearts and prepare us for what he wants to do. We're having a sanctuary expansion. Show the picture quickly. That's what it'll look like from the outside, we think, with the Lord's help. That's what it will look like. It'd be stadium seating. So we're going to basically blow out the lobby and it'll go up 300 new people. You say, why is that so important? For the souls of men. But maybe you're here today. You say, Pastor, I struggle with faithfulness. I struggle. How do you get better at faithfulness? You spend time with Jesus. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Abide in him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. If you struggle being faithful to your wife, spend time with Jesus. If you struggle with purity, spend time with Jesus. If you struggle with your time or your taxes or your tithe, spend time with Jesus. Because when you're with Jesus, you act like Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus is our faithful high priest. Have you ever noticed whenever you go to Jesus, he's always there? Could you imagine if Jesus took a sabbatical when I took a sabbatical? Hey, everybody, for 2 months, no forgiveness of sins. Could you imagine if Jesus had an off day and you really needed something from the Lord? You really needed peace. You really needed grace. And he just puts a big sign on his heavenly door, do not disturb. Or like a hotel, sleeping. No. Jesus is our faithful high priest. And if you want faithfulness in your life, just spend more and more time with Jesus because he's the faithful one. Now let me just shift really quickly here. And I'll get off of this quick. And then I'll move back. This is a positive sermon. This is a positive message. We want to walk away on a Sunday more uplifted. But ladies and gentlemen, God says that you'll either stand before the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment. And this is for those who reject the gospel and God's love and they do what they want to do on earth. And anyone who goes before the great white judgment will go to hell for all of eternity. You say, how do you know this? In the book of Revelation, this is what it says. Watch this. Then I saw a great white throne. That's what we're talking about right here. And him who was seated on it, the earth and heavens fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades, which is another name for hell, gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone's name who's not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, this is for eternity. This is for the souls of men. This is for all of eternity. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, there's something that happens that you don't see. The Bible says that God writes your name down in his book, or we would call it the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you go to the white, great white throne, God just simply looks at his book. Your name's not in it. And then you're going to try to make your appeal. I was a good person. I had a good heart. And God says, there's no one good. There's no one righteous. They're all sinners. You chose to reject me. And now because of my holiness, I can't let you into my heaven. And there's no debate. There's no hustle. There's no side gig. And for all of eternity, for all of eternity, your soul would be in hell. Hell was not designed for a human being. It never was. Verse 10 says it like this. If you just kind of read up. And the devil who deceived them, and this is what he does. He loves to deceive people, especially young people. Come on, John, it's 2019. This is just how it is. And meanwhile, Satan's just laughing because this is what he does. You should know what Satan wants to do. Please don't be ignorant. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. And all he's trying to do is get you right here. If you think I'm trying to take away your fun, if you think God is trying to be a cosmic killjoy, all Satan is trying to do is to bring you right here. Mission accomplished. Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ is up on the cross and say, come to me. Come to me. I'll forgive your sins. I'll wrap my arms around you. I'll bring you to heaven. I know you've been through a lot, but I'll heal you. I'll give you meaning for living. I can bless you. I can help you overcome any fears or failures. You don't have to go to hell. He's trying to save you and to pull you in this direction. But this is a draw. This is a draw. Satan is lying to people. He's lying to young people in these last days. He wants to deceive them. And he was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They would be tormented day and night forever and ever. And just to emphasize the point, and ever and ever and ever and ever. It breaks my heart to think that someone in this room, after you've heard the goodness of God, that you would choose to still reject God's love and grace, and you would still go and you would be partner to your torment and to your death. Satan loves to lie to people, and what he tries to do is just distract us from eternity. That's all he wants to do. Just don't think about it. He wins, because now you're going that way. Jesus wants us to kind of focus, turn our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. Just focus on the Lord. Just focus on his goodness. He's up there. We're going to go be with him forever. So a lot of people say, oh, heaven's going to be boring. Like, what are you going to do in heaven? Play harps? Like, I remember, I don't even know the name of the movie, but like growing up, there was like the movie is like kind of fraternity guys, frat guys, and they wear toga. So you kind of have this picture, toga, toga, in heaven playing harps, like boring. And my friends, you know, like hell can't be that bad, really. I mean, I'd rather hang out with my friends and kind of cool. That's like cool, like, you know, like the bad boy club, you know, like the girls are kind of like kind of loose and crazy. Like that's fun. Come on, that's fun. And like this side is boring or not good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. It won't be fun. It will be torture, complete blackness, no satisfaction. You'll be hungry forever. Sexually, you'll be frustrated. You won't have a drink for water for all of eternity. And God says, listen, I know Satan is lying to you, but trust me. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust me. You want to go to my Father's house. It's going to be great. It's going to be glorious. Don't worry about right now as much as eternity. And in light of eternity, live your life for Jesus Christ. I believe Satan's suckering us to get you not to think about eternity. Young people say, oh, I got time. Let me play around, screw around, whatever you want to say. And she says, hey, knock it off. You need to get yourself ready for eternity. There's only two seats, one seat and a throne. Where are you going when you die? Are you sure? Where are you going when you die? Are you sure? You can know today. Ladies and gentlemen, all I can tell you, I know I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not your perfect person. But I want to hear from the Lord more than anything in my life. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is some of the things you don't deal with, but usually about once a month, sometimes more, I'll get an email or a call, somebody that just didn't like something that I said in church. And the modern way is they kind of use their oomph. Pastor, I can't go to your church anymore because, you know, and they'll start saying modern day sins that most people accept that keeps them out of heaven. And this is what they do. I got up in the middle of your service and I walked out. And part of me just kind of just bothers me because I'm a competitor. I don't like that. No one likes feeling that. But I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I change the message for one who gets up and leaves, or do I tell everybody, hey, ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is true. We could be with the Lord forever, and let's get ourselves ready forever. Or just because one or two say, Pastor John, just tone it down a little bit. Listen, I'm not mad. I'm not frustrated. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says no one who lies will go to heaven. No immoral person. So you say, well, everybody's doing it. Everyone's living together. Everyone's doing it. We need to turn from that. Even if you got caught up in that, you did. I'm not even worried about the past. All I'm worried about is you accept the grace of Jesus Christ. I know there's a promotion of homosexuality. Even as we talk, rainbows are flying everywhere. I know. It sounds weird. I love homosexuals. God loves homosexuals. He doesn't hate them. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, that's what some of you were. God converts. He can change them. But the very thought that you even talk about that, it just leads them to eternity without God. Why wouldn't we hope for prayer that God would change people's hearts and lives? Even if they're in the worst place in their life, you might be here or your family member feeling suicide, they're off track or whatever. God is still trying to lift people to over there. What's happening today is people are just kind of ignoring it, just don't want anybody to be offended. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, people will misunderstand me. They will misunderstand you. They won't get it. They're going to label you or whatever. But we still have the responsibility before Jesus Christ that we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You cannot compromise God, his word, or yourself. Even if everyone abandons you, even if you're made fun of, even to the point of death, what you want here, well done, good and faithful servant. So heaven will not be boring. You say, can you give me a glimpse of what heaven will be? And then we'll get out of here. The Bible says that we will have responsibilities of authority in heaven to judge with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 through 3, watch this. Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? We're going to jump on the Lord's side. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? If you know the book of 1 Corinthians, people were taking each other in church to court cases. And the Bible says, oh boy, don't take your brother to court. It would be better to be wrong. Today, everyone wants to win. Oh, you like Trump? That means you hate Democrats. You hate Democrats, that means you hate Trump. Everyone's fighting. The Bible said, wouldn't it be better just to be wrong and be a peacemaker? Take a loss. Be in poverty. Be a peacemaker. Just take the loss. Who cares? Whatever you want, I'm just going to live in peace. You need money? Here's your money. You want respect? Here's your respect. I'm not going to get into you with all that. They're taking each other to court. He says, do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Ladies and gentlemen, once we cross over, we're going to be with the Lord. Because we're in Christ, we will have responsibilities of authority to judge. Did you know that? We're going to judge the angels? The angels aren't going to judge us. We're going to judge them. There's some bad angels, like Lucifer. and a third of his angels. They were bad guys. They fell out of heaven. We're going to judge because we're going to be pure and holy with Christ in heaven. That's a big deal of responsibility. Heaven will not be boring. We will rule with him. Revelation 5 verse 10. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. We will rule and reign with Christ. And finally, we will sit with the Lord on his throne. Revelation 3 verse 21. To the one who is victorious, I give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as my father was, just as I was victorious and sat down with my father on his throne. There's going to be this throne that's going to be big enough for all of us, and we will be with the Lord and sitting on his throne. Isn't that amazing? That I was going to die and go to hell, and Jesus Christ lifted me up to a place where now I'm going to sit with him. You say, John, aren't you just selling like an eternal life insurance? Hey, people, just ask Jesus into your heart, just in case, even if you're not really sure, just ask him so you get in. Heaven will be for everybody who calls on the Lord, but heaven will not be the same. You will be given roles and responsibilities of service up in heaven. If you've been faithful to the Lord down here, you'll have more roles and responsibilities up in there. Some of you are barely getting into heaven. You got nothing to show for it. But God's calling you right now. Store up treasures in heaven. Think about heaven. How will this last for eternity? Young people, think now. You actually have an advantage. You have all this time. Use your time. Don't blow your 20s. Don't blow your 20s. Don't blow your 30s. You're young. Use it for Jesus. Man, I was the only white guy in the hood in Newark in my 20s. I'm serious. God, you, when you're the only white guy in Newark, New Jersey, you learn how to pray. I learned how to give. I didn't have much money. My wife and I had babies without insurance. We were public school teachers, substitute school teachers. We learned faith when that phone call came every morning at 6 o'clock. No one gave us anything. I bought a house for $28,000. $150 a month for taxes and $150 a month for the house itself. I flipped that house and I sold it for $56,000. I flipped that next one and I sold it. I put half my money down for the house that I have right now. It wasn't because I was smart. I just worked hard and I was faithful unto the Lord. And God has a way of blessing us when we're faithful to him. Oh, I pray that you would have that too. Young people, that you would say, oh God, I know this is real. I know this is real. Pastor John's saying, but I know this is real. I don't want to blow my life. I want to store up treasures in heaven, and I want to be a soul winner. My friends, my neighbors, they're going here. Oh, Lord, let's rip them from the hells and teach people that we can stand before the Lord and give an account. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be great. The Lord will reward us. He will bless us. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? Just want you to know that I called the Cracker Barrel. They're not going to open till 1 o'clock, so we have a couple more minutes. They got a great discount on sweatshirts from Rutgers, everybody. When you stand before the Lord, what's the Lord going to say to you? Let me say this to every pastor and leader. We will be judged doubly as hard. I don't care what your title is. We will be judged doubly hard. Did we do our work? Or did we goof around or take advantage of people, their time, and their talents? Oh, boy, that scares me to a point of wanting just to double down and say, Lord Jesus. Is there anyone here? You're not sure you're going to heaven? Last night, three young people, three men, up their hands and say, Pastor, I want Jesus to come into my heart. This morning at 9 o'clock, three other young people, they lift up their hands and say, Pastor, I want Jesus to come into my heart. I'm believing God right now for three other people. You can be young or old. You're not sure. You're not sure. I mean, shouldn't you be sure? I mean, we make a big deal about going to college, filling out the FAFSA. Boy, that'll kill you right there. Where to go and all these visits. Dad's going crazy. How are we going to pay for this? We make a big deal about going to Disney World. They send you the straps. You could zoom through the line. look at people like, why did you get your strap? We make a big deal about our 401k. I think the economy's pretty good right now. I don't know about all the, but we'll look at that retirement. And boy, our emotions go up and down with the economy. You look at that, you vote on that, you stand in line for that, you give money to that. But when it comes to eternity, we don't even think about it. We don't pray about it. We don't think, it's almost like my heart for the lost. I want our church always to be reaching souls for Jesus Christ. And I want you to use your time, talents, and treasures, and any gifts with a heart saying, Lord, how I live my life, I can reflect the beauty of Jesus all around me by having the right attitude, the right heart, and in light of eternity, the decisions I make, if they're not going to last, like only the word of God and people last forever, only thing that we're going to do is for eternity. I'm not trying to be silly with you, but when you came here today, we painted the lines on the parking lot, and they're nice and clean. You say, why do you do that? For eternity. We're going to have people come in our parking lot, and they're making, wow, those lines look good. They come in, the building's clean. These people care. You go into the restroom, there's plenty of toilet paper. Aren't you glad there's plenty of toilet paper? I've been in some churches before, like the men's bathroom, like the lock doesn't work. So you're trying to go to the bathroom, and you got your door hand against the door. You know what it says? It doesn't matter. It's not important. My eye is so trained. I'll go to a restaurant. Some of you guys like this. I'll go to a restaurant. If I see a light out, I say, they need to replace that light. I'm always this close to telling the manager, hey, you have a light out. I don't know what it is. When I come around God's house, Pastor Rich will tell, I probably drive him crazy. I don't mean to. I just see it. Hey, we got to make sure this is right. That light's right. Because it's God's house. And people are making the decision right when they come on our campus. Do the people value what they're doing? There's a lot of time, attention, and detail, and money, but it's all because we want people to know the goodness and the grace of God. When Jesus was on earth, he did all things well. He wasn't sloppy. He wasn't undisciplined. He was representing his Father. When we do what we do, everything's nice and vacuum. We're making a statement. We value what God wants to do in your life. And I want to tell you, we value you and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we put emphasis and say, this is important. It's the souls of men. So in this room, is there anyone that wants to give their life to Christ? And then secondly, is God stirring your heart to be a soul winner and to get people from this chair to this chair? In just a minute, I'm going to call you up to the front. Come and lift your hands to God. Say, God, would you use me? Change my heart for what's most important and use me to be a witness and to be a voice, to invite people to church and to bring salvation wherever I go. If that, it always starts with the right heart. God can use you. But would you just bow your head for a minute? I want to speak to everybody just for one moment. If your life was to end today, you know you would stand before the great white throne judgment, the chair on my left and the chair on your right. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not need to go to that chair. You do not need to go to that throne. You do not need to be condemned. You do not need to go to hell. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away sin, death, and hell. When he died, he conquered all of it, and he wants to rescue you and give you life and eternal life. He died on the cross for sins and hell, and he wants to give you a brand new life in Christ. If you're a church person and you've heard messages about sin, but you never thought about hell or anything, you say, Pastor, I just want to double up and double check. I want to make sure I'm on my way to heaven. I can't tell you how important it is that you would think and pray and make sure, say, Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart, and you make a fresh commitment to the Lord. No one's looking around. If you want to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart today to rescue you from sin and hell and give you a brand new life that's found in Christ, and you want to start serving him, not to embarrass you, but you want to give your life to Christ, slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want Jesus to come into my heart and my life. If that's you today, can you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody else? You slip up your hand too. Anybody else? You want to give your life to Christ? I'm not embarrassing you. Just giving you opportunity. Three people. Anyone else? Today's a totally different type of day. It's a day of salvation. Anyone else? God uses pastors and Christian people to help people to pray. When I pray, you three people that just lift up your hand, you could pray with me, but I'm going to invite everybody in the house to pray right now with me. You say, well, what's not a big deal, just to repeat words? It is, if three people are going to die and go to hell, and three people are going to go into heaven right now. So everybody can help advance the kingdom of God. It's easy to do it in God's house. We must do it in God's house, but we also have to do it outside of God's house. We must pray and believe for the impossible in people's hearts and lives in Jesus Christ. Can we all pray together? You three, you make this your prayer. You ask Jesus to wash you of your sins and give you new life. He will, and all of heaven will rejoice. We will rejoice with you. Come on, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again for my sin and to relieve me from hell. You are setting me on a firm foundation in the heavenlies as I follow you and I turn from my sin. I say yes to you, Jesus, in every area of my life. Break every chain in my life for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says when your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible also said there's rejoicing and praising to God in heaven. I think we should welcome people into the kingdom of God. Come on, we thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we praise you. Jesus. We're going to close this service by singing that song, God is So Good. But if God is challenging you to be a soul winner, God wants, if God's telling you, he's calling you to reach people on their way here and to bring them over here. And maybe you're wasting time, talent, it doesn't matter. God's change my heart. I want to be a soul winner. Or you are believing God. There's people in your family, your schoolmates, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. They're going this way. But we're going to come around this altar. We're going to pray that God would change the course. If God could do it in Marco's life, he's the worst sinner, then he could do it on some other different levels. We're going to say, Lord, touch my family, touch my friends. And we're going to believe that God would take them over right now in Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, I want to invite you to come stand around this altar. Lift up your hands to God. We're going to pray and believe God. He's a good God.